Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And they say that if you have a good parish priest, then he deserves to go away on holiday for at times to recharge his batteries. They say that if you don't have a good parish priest, he deserves to go away so you can recharge your batteries. You'll have your own thoughts on the answer to that one. But it is a time to talk about vocations, particularly to the priesthood. As I'm sure you're aware, there's a reducing number of priests around in the diocese at the present time as there is in this country, as there is in large parts of Europe. And I'm not really in a position to do much about it, because I don't have children or grandchildren that I can talk to and suggest that one of the things they might want to consider in their life is becoming a priest. And let's not exclude the girls from that, because we never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. So, you know, we're not keeping it just to men for the moment. I mean, the church is, but you never know where it's going to lead. But we need priests, you know. And the trouble is that people don't quite know enough about priests. So they don't know what to ask the Lord for. I mean, people think that priests have to be holy people. Well, I can assure you there are lots of holy people sitting down, but there isn't a holy person standing up. Because we're just ordinary human beings who are asked to do something extraordinary. But that doesn't change us from the ordinary that we are. It doesn't make us into superhuman people. It doesn't get rid of the faults and failings that we have. It just means that because we are broken as human beings, we understand the people we deal with who are broken as human beings in many different ways. That we can understand and empathize with them. And being a priest is such a privilege. I mean, I never wanted to be a priest. I mean, when I was at school, the greatest joy I had in my school was after getting about 14% in my mock for Latin, I was able to give it up as an O-level subject. And therefore, with my inability to speak any Latin, the priesthood was never on my agenda, thank goodness, because it was all in a strange language in those days. But even as I was a student, I mean, anyone who knew me would not think that I was priestly material, if there's any such thing as that. I was just an ordinary person doing ordinary things. But it was when I drifted back to the church, because I stopped going for a number of years, and at that stage I was going to St. Teresa's in Filton. And there was a priest there called Father Graham Gilman, that some people may remember his name. And he came to see me on one occasion, and when we were sitting down chatting, he said, "Bernard," he said, "the reason I come to see you is I think you'd make a good priest." Considering he was on his second whiskey and I was on my second gin, I thought he can't hold his drink. But he planted a seed, an idea, and I spent 3+ years trying to ignore that seed, trying to pull that seed up, trying to get on with my life, but it kept on growing, and I had effectively no choice but to try it. It was the greatest gift that anyone has given me in many ways. I trained at Birmingham at St. Mary's College, Oscott. I was in tears the day I left there, because after 4.5 years of doing nothing, I had to start work. No, mainly because I'd had such a great experience of learning about this faith that I'd been brought up with but didn't really know. You know, learning so much more about it. I remember going there and going into the library and seeing thousands of books on religion and thinking, goodness me, how can they write so much about a subject like this? And by the time I left, I thought, it's not really that good a library here, you know, it needs to be a bit bigger. Because I realized there was far more to know and learn. But I've been so blessed as a priest, and people, you know, people sometimes think, oh, you know, what are you doing that for? I mean, I spent 5 years in the army, as I think many of you know, and in the army we used to talk about hatching, matching, and dispatching. So baptisms, weddings, and funerals. The three huge occasions in the lives of families, where as a priest you have that great privilege of being involved in that occasion. And people generally remember you, even if you don't always remember them straight off, because you haven't seen them for 30 years. And they say, oh, you baptized my son, who's now, you know, this high. Or my daughter with her three children, you know, you baptized. But it's such a great privilege to be able to do that and to share those moments with people. And being a priest is a great, great privilege to work with and for people. I mean, it has its ups and downs, you know. Not every day is absolutely fantastic, you know. I've had people, not in this parish, thank goodness, but I've had people ring me at 11:30 at night to book a wedding, you know, and that tested my patience. My patience gets tested at times when people ring up 2 or 3 days before Christmas and ask what times the masses are, and I'm thinking, well, you've managed to find on the website our telephone number. Maybe you could have looked at the mass times on the website as well, but that's not always the case, is it? But most of it has been a great privilege. And so what I'm asking you today is to think and pray about vocations, because there are less priests. In the next 10 years, something like at least a third of the priests in the diocese will be retiring. And we have 2 people at the present time training for the priesthood. They're just in their second year, and it's a 6-year course. So it's going to be another 4 or 5 years before we get another person ordained for the diocese. So if you want a choice of Sunday masses, which you have, of course, in Bristol, because there's lots of churches around, but if you'd like to stay in this beautiful church and have masses in the years to come, then we need more priests. And unless we're banging on the doors of heaven asking, it's not going to happen. The church can survive with very few priests. I know it can. My great friend and colleague who started at Oscott with me, Father Frank Karma, worked in Bolivia at his missionary there for a while. His parish was larger than the Diocese of Clifton, and he was the only priest in that parish. But the faith was strong. People didn't get a Sunday Mass every week, every month. They got a Mass every 2 or 3 months. When he went to a village, he'd baptize 20 or 30 people in one go. It was a different way, you know? But God won't abandon his church. But sometimes he does ask it to do a little bit more than others. So pray for priests, whether it's for this country or elsewhere, because they're always needed. And when we pray like that, the Lord will answer our prayers. And who knows, maybe someone sitting here today may end up becoming a priest and experiencing the joy and privilege that I've had in almost 38 years rather, of service to the diocese and to the world. Thank you for what you do, thank you for who you are, and thank you for supporting all our priests and deacons in our diocese.